Let's turn over to John chapter 3, and we're going to open up as we normally do in John chapter 3, and let's read verses 16, 17, and 18. And let's read it out loud as we read it so we can hear ourselves read this scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. And if you would, let's turn over to book of Psalms today. And we're going to pretty much stay here today. And we're going to go to Psalm 34 to start, kind of our opening scripture today. I was saying before, let us not ever get to the place where we're complacent with the things of God and feel like we deserve it. Because all of the blessings, we didn't deserve anything. It was because of Christ that allowed us to have anything of God and the blessings of God. So let's not ever get to the place that we think that we deserve any of this, because if we do, that is a not a good place to be. Psalm 34, and I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Boy, that's a great statement right there. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of the things, if you look and you just start to look at this particular scripture verse in Psalm 34, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. That's not some of the time. That's all the time we're to bless the Lord. Some folks may say, well, how am I supposed to do that? Now, that doesn't mean every second of the day, but that doesn't mean you go days on end and not just stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this great day. Thank you for waking me up on my way. Thank you. I thank you. That's just that you're acknowledging him. Now, that doesn't mean every second of the day you're praying. I mean, God knows you have responsibilities, but you're at least taking the time out to acknowledge him. And it says here, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, continually means at all times. And what does that mean? That means in the good times, we thank him. And that means when we're not having good times, we thank him and praise him. Not for it, but it says in everything. Give thanks. That means in it, going through it, we're thanking him. We're giving him praise, and we're giving him thanksgiving while we're going through it. And if you think about that, now here's the other thing. It says, where is that praise continually to be? In your mouth. That doesn't mean in your mind, and that doesn't mean in your heart, although that's where it should be, but at some point, it should bubble up and come out. And one of the things that always comes to mind. I was thinking about this song this morning that we were singing, I Will Trust the Lord, by Candy State, and she talked about her mother singing songs and sharing things. Some of us have grown up where we heard our parents bless the Lord. Not for show, but just that they were blessing the Lord. And who heard them? The children did. And the children heard their parents saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this food on the table. Thank you. Dolores Flood was sharing when she was growing up. Her mother was a single mom, a number of children, and you know, they always wanted more. And she said, well, let's just thank God for what we have. Thank you for this food on the table. Thank you for the roof over our head. Thank you for these things. And so we need to be continually praising God in our mouth. And when you're full of Him, that's the best way. And that's one way to stay full, is to have a song in your heart, is to have a praise in your heart and some thanksgiving. And that way you're not meditating, because you can't praise Him and be meditating at the same time on some bad news. You can't do both. You're going to either be thanking Him and saying, Father, thank you, and praise you. And what are you doing? You're magnifying Him. You're going to magnify Him and not the problem. And so when we do that, yes, we may not know how to walk through an issue, walk through a problem, walk through a health challenge, walk through a family problem, walk through a job problem. We may not know how, and most times don't. But as we thank Him, as we say, Father, thank you, I don't know how. This is difficult for me. How do I go through this? But I thank you that you're going to show me how to go through. And in that thanksgiving, let me just say it this way. Faith always praises. If you're in faith, if you are in faith, then you're going to praise God. Why? Because you're confident. If you're in faith, you're confident that He's going to bring you through it. So faith praises. Faith always praises before God acts. You may say, where is that? Turn over to Acts 16. Let's take a second here, a little side journey. Go over to Acts 16. Faith always praises before God acts. Go to Matthew 16 and look at verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? Prayed. And then what did they do? They sang praises. And then what happened? The foundation shook and the doors opened. So faith. Did I say Acts 16 or Matthew? I meant to say Acts 16. Excuse me. That's why everybody was looking at me strange. I says, that account's not in there. Thank you. Thank you, Elder Charles. Acts 16, I'm sorry. Acts 16, 25. And we say, faith always praises before God acts. So we give God thanks because we're convinced of what God's going to do. So we give Him thanks. And that's what it said in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Doesn't say they grumbled. Now you figure here, these guys are in stocks. They're in the inner dungeons. It's got to be dirty and smelly, and they're beat. And what'd they do? They prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So this wasn't from their heart. It did come from their heart, but it came out of their mouth. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. God acted. He responded to their faith, and He responded to their praise. And so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's hands were loosed. That's kind of a real focused earthquake, isn't it? So one of the things that we can see here is that as we praise God, we might be in a situation that's like that. I mean, there's no way you're in stocks. There's no way. There is absolutely no way you can get out of this. No way. You're stuck. What are you supposed to do? Praise God. You're supposed to thank Him and praise Him. And He's going to do what? He's going to show you what to do. And always, I'm going to say it like this, God is going to respond to who? Not because He's so powerful. He is all powerful. But God is always going to respond to what? Faith. And He's going to respond, be it unto you according to your faith. So when we're stuck, what do? We praise Him. We thank Him. Thank Him what? Not just because He's God, but because He's going to get us through this and show us how to get through and give us the victory. That's faith. So faith always praises God. Faith always praises. And one of the things that, you know, I've from past lessons, we just said faith must be released in words through our mouth. So faith is something that's always going to be released in words. Faith doesn't get released in your thoughts. Faith gets released in your words. Through what? Your mouth. So thanksgiving and praise is really my faith speaking. Thanksgiving and praise is my faith speaking. I'm convinced that God's going to get me through. So was Paul and Silas. They were praising God. They're in the stocks, they're in the dungeons, and they're praising God. That doesn't seem like a likely place to praise God, but they were convinced that God was going to see him through. And so when we give thanks and when we give praise, we give God the legal right to begin to move on our behalf. Why? Because of our faith. And when we grumble and complain and we don't see how to get out and we're complaining about a problem, we're not only magnifying the problem and not God, but we give the devil legal right to move. From what? Your words. And so death and life is in the power of the tongue. So you can look at it from the standpoint of praise. There is life in faith-filled praise. There's life in that. And there's death also if you're praising someone else. Praising the problem. And anyways, but you get my point that we're to continually be praising God in my mouth. And my soul shall make her boast. That word is halal. You know, we say hallelujah, but my soul shall make her boast, who? In the Lord. Not boasting in the problem, not highlighting the problem all the time, but boasting in the Lord and magnifying Him. It says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. If you look in the modern translations, it just says, all those who are oppressed listen and are glad, or let the afflicted hear and rejoice. So the humble, in the King James, if you look in the modern translations, it just says, all those who are oppressed. They're the ones that are going to hear it. The prisoners heard it. They heard them praising God. Hallelujah. And then it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Hallelujah. So when we become full of God, when we become full of His word, what happens? When you become full of something, what happens? You keep pouring water in this glass, it's going to do what? Bubble over. And so when we become full of something, what's going to bubble out? Praise and thanksgiving. And so we always ask the question, what are you full of? What are you full of? Some are full of their job. And that's all they want to talk about is their job, their job, their job, their job, their job. Some are full of their children. That's all they want to talk about is their children, their children, their children, their children, their children. Some are full of their husbands. Or their wives. That's all they want to talk about. Well, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're not full of it. You want to be full of God and full of praise and thanksgiving to Him. Because all of those individuals in the natural, your job, your family, your husband or wife, could disappoint you. God will never disappoint you. And so I'm going to be full of praise to Him. Let's turn over to, I'm going to start this here. Let's go over to Psalm 113. Psalm 113. And let's look at verse 1. You know, one of the things that praise does is there can be an increased manifestation of God's presence through praise. And you might say, well, how is that? Well, we just see here in the mornings when we praise the Lord here in this corporate setting, we sense God's presence here through praise and worship. And one of the attributes of His presence is peace. And we've all done that. We can have all kinds of activity going home and all kinds of things going on at home. And one of the key attributes of the presence of God is peace. And if there is not peace on your job or peace in your home, maybe there needs to be more praise and more thanksgiving in the home, and that can cause the presence of God to increase in those settings. You could just start with music. Keep music playing. Keep a song in your heart. That can increase His presence and peace in your house, in your job. And one of the things, I'll just read these, but Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When we keep praise in our heart, then peace is manifested. And what does that do? It keeps your heart and your mind, so it's not troubled. So that is why God is saying we ought to continually praise Him and thank Him, because from that comes the peace of God because of His manifested presence. So as we continually keep a song and a praise in our heart and not weighed down with the busyness of the world, then peace comes because His presence comes. And of course, Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." See? So when you keep a song in your heart, you keep a praise in your heart, then His presence is manifested where? In your heart, and it will rule. See? In your heart. Amen. So we can have greater manifestations. We can initiate it by just initiating more praise, more thanksgiving during the day. Not getting so caught up that we don't stop and say, you know what, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blessings today. And just take the time out. Now, it may seem that it's uncomfortable at first to just stop. We ought not just praise the Lord when we come here for 30 minutes on a Sunday. Or a Nanuet on a Wednesday or a Friday. No, it's supposed to be all the time. And so we need to make sure that we're doing that. Now, you get to Psalm 113. And this is, the question that I'm going to ask is, when should we praise the Lord? When should we praise the Lord? Well, this answers that. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised." So we're to praise what? From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. So you can see here, praise is not optional. This is not based on how I feel. It's to be continuous. That means all day long, we're to praise Him. And you know, when you think about this, how is praise in heaven? It's continuous. Even in the book of Revelations, it talks about the winged creatures that continually praise God, praise before the throne. Well, then what did Jesus say in the book of Matthew? He said, His will is that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Didn't He? So if Jesus said that those things that He desired to have done in this earth as it is in heaven, well, praise would be one of that. And the other scriptures bear that out. It's to be continual. Just like it is in heaven. A constant flow of praise and thanksgiving to God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. Right after 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles 23, and we're going to start at verse 1, and just look at the first few verses here. It says, "So when David was old and full of days, He made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel and the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 38,000." Wow. 38,000 Levites. Of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. That's what the Levites were. They were the ones to do the work in the temple, the service in the temple. And it said, and 6,000 were officers and judges. This is all part of the 38,000. Moreover, 4,000 were porters. Now look at this. And 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments which I made. This is David speaking here. Said David, to praise therewith. Hallelujah. So you can see here, God gave instructions to have all of these things, all of these the Levites, of the 38,000, there were 24,000 were to do the work of the service in the house of the Lord. 6,000 were officers and judges. 4,000 were porters. And 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments which were made, which David made. Now jump down to verse 30. And what does this say here? And to stand every morning. To stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even, meaning in the evening. So they were instructed that the 4,000 were to praise the Lord with instruments, and they were to do what? Stand every morning to thank the Lord and praise the Lord, and in the evening. Hallelujah. Now let's turn forward now. Let's go to Psalm 119:62. We're asking the question, when do I praise the Lord? See, the interesting thing is, you know, they had in the Old Testament, they had the law. So there weren't any options. They had to do it. They were required to do it. But because we love God and we're full of love, we want to praise Him for all that he's done, all of his goodness. Psalm 119, verse 62 says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." So we can see here, we're to praise him in the morning, praise him in the evening, and praise him at midnight. Amen. Now, let's turn to, forward to Psalm 149. Psalm 149. And look at verse 5. Psalm 149, verse 5. It says, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds." The Amplified says, "Let the saints be joyful in the glory and beauty which God confers upon them. Let them sing for joy upon their beds." Hallelujah. Now let's back up to Psalm 35. We're looking at Psalm 35 and verse 27. We're asking the question, when should I praise the Lord? All the day long. 35:27, it says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified." That's what we're to do. We're to continually say, "Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." Does he have pleasure? Yes. "And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." So we're to praise him all the day long, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Let me bring this to mind. When you read Joshua 1:8, see, this says here, "Let them say continually." Let them say continually, "Let the Lord be magnified. Let him be exalted. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." Now, he's not asking to do something that we can't do. If he put it in here, we can do it. Now, Joshua 1:8, just think about that particular scripture. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." That means what? You magnify it. And you're not magnifying a problem. This says here in the other psalm, it says, "Let the Lord be magnified." And the scripture here in Joshua 1:8 says, "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." So that means that if it says that we're to meditate and to do what? That we mayest observe to do. If he's writing in the Psalms that we're to praise him and magnify the Lord, that's part of meditating on him. That's part of lifting him up. And then what does it say? If you observe to do according that all that is written therein, it says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Some of us think that getting success, and I believe in working hard, but it's not just working hard that's going to get you successful. Working hard will gain you a measure of success, but it's going to be this meditating in the Word of God day and night and thanking and blessing and praising him. And in thanking him, I'll give you an example. I shared this in Nanuet. you've heard me share this a number of times, how years ago, I started working the Word in the area of healing, and I would meditate on it and confess it every day. When I get up, I'm shaving, I'm saying it. Thank you, Father, that every tissue and every organ of my body functions in the perfection that you made. I thank you that every disease, germ, and virus that touches my body dies instantly. And every tissue and organ functions normally. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'd say that and say it and meditate on it. And there was some symptoms in my body, and I was laying on my bed. And the thought came to me, just start to laugh. Just laugh. And it was a sad laugh. Ha, ha, ha. I'm serious. That's what I did. Ha, ha, ha. And I did that for about 10 minutes. Just going, ha, ha, ha. I'm not feeling anything. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. That's all I did for about 10 minutes. Nothing changed. And down here, started a little bubble. I said, ooh. And I started to go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. And that started to bubble up more and more. And I got over into supernatural laughter. And I couldn't stop. I mean, just full out laughter and couldn't stop. And that went on for 15, 20 minutes. Just full laughter. And when it subsided, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. I wasn't seeking him. I wasn't asking for anything. I was just laughing. Full of joy. Full of joy. And I was laughing at these symptoms. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me about finances. Not my health. He talked to me about finances. He said, if you'd work the Word in the area of finances, like you're working the Word in the area of healing, you wouldn't have room enough to contain it all. That's what he told me. Years ago, he told me that. And I knew immediately when he said that, I went, ooh, I'm not doing that. And I knew it. I knew exactly what he meant, because he knows. See, some of us think, ah, God, help me. He already knows that. He already knows. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he said, and the previous verse says, because your Father that knoweth that you have need of all these things. He already knows it. He already knows your thoughts. He already knows what you need. He already knows what you have. He already knows what you're meditating on. I want that thing. He already knows it. He already knows you want a house. He already knows you want a new car. He already knows you need all of it. But what we're not doing is thanking him enough for what we have and what he's going to do. And just being content. See, because some of the stuff we're trying to grab after, we get it, and sometimes we have no business having it. Because God didn't supply it, and he didn't open the door for you to have it. Sometimes it's premature. You can't handle it. You're not mature enough yet. So he already knows that. If you just seek him, seek him first. And so that's what he told me. So I started to just, at that moment, the first thought that came to me when he said that was, oh, he's not trying to keep anything from me. He said, more than I know what to do with. Well, I said, wow, that's a blank check. And so I started to, and what I was not doing was I was bringing my tithe into the storehouse, meaning into service, and I would take it and just put it in the basket and praise God, but I never expected any return on it. You understand my point? I put it in there because I was supposed to. That was the right thing to do. I was bringing my tithe into the storehouse, but in faith, putting it in, See, putting that envelope in faith. I'm bringing my gift to the Lord. And I'm putting it in faith into the basket. And now I expect a return on my seed. I wasn't doing that. Because if I was, I'd have been thanking him. And I wasn't. I wasn't thanking him, saying, Father, I thank you. Thank you that I put my seed into the ground. And I thank you that you're bringing a harvest from that seed. Just like we call in the 80,000, thanking him for the harvest. I wasn't doing that. But I was doing that in the area of healing. I was. I was feeding on his word, getting the seed down in my heart, and thanking him. Remember I said, praise always thanks God because you're in faith. Or faith always praises God. I'm sorry. Faith always praises God because you're in faith. You thank him before you see the results. I was doing that in the area of my healing and my health. I wasn't doing that in finances. And so if he hadn't revealed that to me, I'd have stayed broke and poor the rest of my life. And you can love God, you can love him, and come up short your entire life. And folks get angry at God. They're going, why am I going through this? Why can't I have this? They're special. No, they're not special. Be it unto you according to your faith. God is not a respecter of persons. We don't have to live on barely nothing. Now, it didn't change overnight. It did not change overnight. It took time. But it changed. And God has been dealing with me. When I say dealing with me, he prompted me at the beginning of this year to call in X amount of money a month extra, because he knows my heart. I want to give more into ministries, into not just this ministry, other ministries. And my desire is to do that, not to just consume it upon my own lusts. And so I heard him speak. He said, call in this. So I have his approval. And so I'm going to see it and I'm going to give it. But those things come. See, I think what happens is, I'm going to talk just aside here about faith. When it comes to our health and finances, when we operate in faith, sometimes folks get stuck in the area of faith because they believe God for something, and then when they don't see it, they let go. They give up. And they quit. But how many of you have set goals and have achieved goals? How many of you? How many have set goals and achieve them? We all have. We've all set a goal and we've achieved it. How did you do it? In degrees. You didn't reach that goal and go, whoop, one big leap and you were there. You didn't. That's silly. You didn't do that. You got there step by step, plodding along, very uninteresting, but you were plodding along step by step to your goal or destination. And sometimes when there's this major health challenge or major financial problem or something, we want the whole thing. We're going to believe God for X. And then when we don't get it, we go, it didn't work. No, your faith didn't work. You need to take hold of that which you can believe for. And sometimes it's just a little bit. And that's how you do it. You believe for a little bit, take a step and shout, thank you, Lord, I got the victory. Take another step. But all the while, I'm heading for that over there. And some folks, they get in the hospital, and people, you know, well-meaning people come in, and they want them to believe for something that they can't believe for. They have this big issue, and they're in pain, and the doctors told them now they're not going to live. And now we're going to believe for something that they can't believe for. They're not in faith. And a lot of times people pass because they're not in faith, but it's going to be according to their faith. Sometimes the best that folks can believe for is for the pain to stop. That's the best they can believe for. Well, great, let's believe for that. Let's just believe that the pain doesn't get any worse, and then let's shout over that. And then tomorrow, if it's you want to take a step, let's just take a little step. Maybe you put your leg over the side of the bed. Well, let's shout on that. Because if you can't take enough of those little steps, you'll walk right out of the hospital. And the same thing goes where your finances are concerned. Some are trying to grab the whole bite, and they're not just believing for a little bit. Maybe it's just $10. Maybe it's $15. When it comes, shout. Hallelujah. Now let's up it. Let's up it to 25 or 50. See, that's how faith works. And the same thing where praise is concerned. We need to praise God, you know, from the morning to the evening. And keep a song in our heart. Amen. Amen. So we're going to meditate on it day and night. So we were saying, faith always praises before God acts. Now let's look at a New Testament scripture. Keep your finger there. We're in Psalm 34. Jump over to Psalm 44 first. Psalm 44. And let's look at verse 8. Psalm 44, verse 8. Keep your finger there. I'll just read this. Well, you can stay there. I'll read this scripture to you. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be unto God." What? Thanks. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. But thanks be unto God." Now thanks. "And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." So Psalm 44:8. I'm going to read this here. It says, "In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever." Selah. Who are we doing? We're praising, we're boasting in God all the day long. All the day. Keeping a song, keeping a praise in our heart. Psalm 71. Let's look at Psalm 71. We could go from Psalms from the front to the back, but I'm just highlighting some. Psalm 71 and verse 14. I'm sorry, verse 8. Psalm 71, verse 8. We're going to go to 14. But Psalm 71, verse 8 says, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Praise God. Now, I want to jump over into something. I want to just pick up on something so we can hook up next week. Turn over to, I'm going to spend a few minutes here. Turn over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. And I'm going to ask the question, we've seen here a few scriptures of when we praise the Lord. And now I want to look at why we should praise the Lord. Why should we praise Him? And let's look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy." There's one reason right there that we praise Him. He's worthy. He's worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." He's worthy to receive that. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." The Amplified, I'll just read this from the Amplified version, verse 12. It says, "Saying in a loud voice, deserving is the Lamb." Another way, he's worthy, but he's deserving, who was sacrificed to receive all the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and majesty and blessing. I'm going to read, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read, because I'm going to go somewhere else, but I'll read this familiar verse, Psalm 150, verse 6. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." So why should we praise the Lord? First off, because he told us to. That's a good reason. He told us to, and he's worthy to. He's worthy of our praise. And that, if that was the only reason, that'd be enough. Now, go to Psalm 18. I want to jump back here for a moment. Psalm 18 and verse 1. Psalm 18 and verse 1. Says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised." He's worthy to be praised. "So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Hallelujah. Now, let's go back into the New Testament. Let's go over to Hebrews. I wanted to make connect some thoughts here. Hebrews chapter 13. And I want to look at verse 15. Verse 15 in chapter 13 of Hebrews. It says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." And this tells us what that is. Somebody might say, well, what is the sacrifice of praise? Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, "That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." That is the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." So the right kind of praise pleases God. It's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. That here, it says, pleases God. Let me read this from the Amplified translation. It says, "Through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify His name. Do not forget or neglect to do kindness and good, to be generous and distribute and contribute to the needy of the church as embodiment and proof of fellowship, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. When you look up just in the dictionary, just a standard English dictionary, if you look up the word sacrifice, it can convey in modern English loss. It does not mean the same from a biblical standpoint. A sacrifice is really an offering. And in English terms, when we think about sacrifice, it means I lost something, I gave something up. But in God's eye, a sacrifice is an offering. We bring Him an offering of praise. And that is well-pleasing to God. Why? Because I love Him. Because He's worthy to be praised. He saved me. He delivered me. He healed me. He has caused me to have eternal life. He is worthy. If I had nothing else than that, He's worthy to be praised and to be thanked. That I have His very nature living in me, He's worthy to be praised. If I don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. And I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to thank Him in good times and bad times. I'm going to thank Him because He's worthy to be praised. And that offering of praise is well-pleasing. You think about when Noah got out of the boat and he took all of these animals and he took out the clean animals. And it says he built an altar and offered them up to God. What did it say? God smelled a sweet odor. And so our sacrifices are, and our offering of praise is a sweet odor unto God. And you'll see that from the scriptures. Go over to, let's look at Psalm 54. I'm going to hook up with that thought because you'll see how important it is, not just, I got to praise the Lord, praise the Lord, all right, praise God. I'll praise Him in the morning, and I'll praise Him in the evening, and praise God. That's sad. Now you can see what pleases God. Psalm 54 and verse 6. It says, I will freely sacrifice unto Thee. I will praise Thy name, O Lord, for it is good. I will freely sacrifice. I will freely offer to You praise. Psalm 116. You'll see some more scriptures that kind of unfold this to you. Psalm 116 and verse 17. Psalm 116 and verse 17 says, I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice, the offering of thanksgiving. Now jump ahead to Psalm 141. Psalm 141 and verse 2. Now you're going to start to see here the connection between how they sacrificed in the Old Testament and the sacrifice of praise. Look at verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before Thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. As the evening offering. So God's not looking. See, that was in the Old Testament. They had to bring the burnt offering and the meal offering and the fellowship offering and the sin offering. They had all these offerings that they had to conduct. But God is saying here, even in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, he was saying, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for us to not forget to go through the day and say thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you. That is well-pleasing to God. Let me read a few other scriptures here to you. You can turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at a few New Testament scriptures. Romans chapter 12. And these are familiar scripture. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, are my hands part of my body? Absolutely. So we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, an offering unto God, which is well-pleasing to him. Now, let's jump to Ephesians chapter 5. Boy, I tell you, it gets exciting when you look at the scripture from the area of praise and thanksgiving. It gets exciting. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 1 and 2. See, and this gets over into where we live, this dispensation. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Hallelujah. And we're to be followers of that. So we're to do what? Offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice, an offering, our praise to God. That is acceptable and a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Hallelujah. Now, jump back to Psalm 69. I'm going to try to pull these together here. There's a lot of scriptures. See, when we come, I was sharing this Friday night, that so often the church world comes to church to receive. That's appropriate. But if that's all you're doing is to come to receive, because I'm wore out, I haven't fed on the word, I haven't even cracked the book since last Sunday, and I haven't praised God or thanked him all week, I'm dry. And now I want you to fix me and jack me up. Wrong. You should be coming as the scripture says, I wrote this down, in 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. We should be coming prepared with our offerings. Yes, to receive, but primarily we should be coming to praise God and to bless him and thank him for all that he's done for us. And come with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. And in that setting, some will have a song or a psalm and a doctrine and a revelation. Why? Because we come and we thank God. And the gifts of the Spirit operate and the things flow. But if we just come to receive, is one-sided. Now, yes, we do come to receive, but primarily we should be coming with our offerings of praise, our offerings of thanksgiving, our offerings of finances to thank God, just because he's God and he's worthy. Amen. Amen. Psalm 69, did you get there? Verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30. These are interesting scriptures here. And 31. 30 and 31, it says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Now look at this. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns or hoofs. So even here, he's revealing that our praise and thanksgiving is more pleasing to the Lord than an ox or a sacrifice of a bullock. See? So God doesn't want our work, he wants our praise. Now, let's go to Hosea. Hosea, but a few more scriptures. Daniel, Hosea, chapter 14. Hosea 14. Just a few more scriptures and we'll wrap up. Hosea 14 and verse 2. It says, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Isn't that an interesting statement? The calves of our lips. Let me read that, maybe a little obscure. Let me read that in Hosea 14:2 in the Amplified. It says, take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all our iniquity, accept what is good, and receive us graciously. Now listen to this. So will we render our thanks as bullocks to be sacrificed. So God, and pay confession of our lips. So God is, through the Holy Ghost here, is showing that our thanks is as the sacrifice of a bullock. Isn't that interesting? So he wants our love and our thanks and our gratitude. And that is well-pleasing to God. Now let's go over to Philippians 4:18. These are familiar scriptures that you know, but you can see them now in the light of praise. Philippians 4:18. This is talking about the church of Macedonia and their giving. And verse 18, it says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now what was sent? The offerings and the gifts. And he said here, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. So that offering that they sent to Paul was what? A sweet odor to God. And it says here, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So that offering that they provided was an odor, a sweet-smelling odor to God, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. So when we bring our offerings to God, not only just our tithes, but our offerings, and we bring those from our heart, that's an offering to God, and not to be taken lightly, not just, okay, plop, drop it in the bucket, plop, that's it, I did my duty. No, that is an offering to God, and it says here, well-pleasing, well-pleasing to God. Hallelujah. And when you read this in the New International, it says, I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Hallelujah. So when we come, even those that may come here and offer up their time and offer their time to clean and to vacuum and to do those things, that you ought to do as an offering and say, Lord, I offer this time to you, and I give my time and my talents and my abilities. That is a sacrifice, an offering to God that's well-pleasing to Him. And He keeps a record of those things. I hope you don't think that He doesn't, but He does. He keeps a record of these things that we do for Him through the church and the various things that you do. Could be 15 minutes, could be an hour, but that offering is well-pleasing to God. It's a sweet odor to Him. 1 Peter, let's go ahead, we'll just wrap up here. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2. So we ought not take lightly the things of God where our praise and our offerings, our talents that God has given us, we ought to offer them to God as a sweet offer to Him. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to do what? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And let's look at verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we can see here that we are called to offer Him our bodies, our minds, our hearts, all of the things that we have, everything, we are to offer it to Him. And when we do, as directed by the Holy Ghost, see, because the church of Macedonia, what did it say here? They were the only ones. Through all these campaigns, it said here, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. They were the only church. But they sacrificed and gave to Him and met His need, and He said, this was well-pleasing to God. And one of the things that I see is that if we take that into mind and we just keep that in mind about how we use our time, we don't get so busy with life that we forget with our jobs and all of the things that God has blessed us with, that we forget to offer some time to Him and say, thank you, Lord, because in an instant you could have it, not have it. And then who are you going to ask for help? The one that you've not been praising and thanking. And so we need to keep that and say, Lord, I from the rising of the sun, I thank you. Thank you. You're going to help me today. You're going to bless me, everything I set my hands to, and I'm not going to forget you during the day. And I'm going to offer up my praise as a sacrifice, an offering unto you, which is well-pleasing. And when we keep a song and a praise in here, we're not going to get pulled all over the place with the activities of life. We're going to keep our minds and hearts straight and not forget Him. Because without Him, we can do nothing. Can't do a thing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to stop for now.